Okay, I'm Sefer, so we've been learning some of the halachos of Rosh Hashanah, and we're up to basically Simin Tav Kuf Pei Gimel, which is the Dvarim Shenol Hagim Lechol, the Leil Rosh Hashanah, the stuff that you eat on the night of Rosh Hashanah. These are called the Simanim, the recently published Batei Yosef. So the Shechter quotes in the Rub that just like on Pesach, there's an Indian, Lirasas Atzma, Kilehu Yasa, the Indian to experience it. So on Rosh Hashanah also, we eat these Simanim in order to experience it. It's worth noting that there are two different Gemaras about Simanim. There's a Gemara in Harayis on Daf Yud Beis, where the Gemara in Harayis says that you should eat the Simanim. The Gemara in Parallel Gemara in Krisis on Daf Vav says that you should see the Simanim, not eat the Simanim. There's a discussion in the Poskim about when you eat the Simanim, so we say Yehi Ratzon, right? If you read the Mechaber sounds like Yehi Ragel Lecho B'Rosh Hashanah, and Shiyochal Yomar Yehi Ratzon Shiyobesko Yaseinu. The Mechaber says Yehi Ratzon, but it doesn't put Hashem's name. You read the Mishnah Berurah adds a few words. Yehi Ratzon Mofanecha Hashem Elokeinu V'Kei Avoseinu. Right, so Mishnah Berurah says that you should say Hashem's name. So there is some funny thing that they quote from Mitzrayah Dablitsky. He was like a Mekubal, a massive Talmud Chacham, B'nai Brak, who died a few years ago. So Mitzrayah Dablitsky said that in his opinion, if you see the Simen, you say the Yiratzen without Hashem's name. But if you eat it, you say the Yiratzen with Hashem's name. Again, he's a Mekubal. Maybe he understood stuff that I don't understand. I don't understand the word of that. Like, why would there be a difference? Rav Schechter is quoting the Sefer Batei Yosef that in his opinion, you should dafka not say Hashem's name. Rav Moshe Soloveitchik used to sing Zemiris on Shabbos, that's of his Achidish. Even though he was a Soloveitchik and the Masorah in the family is not to sing, Rav Moshe Soloveitchik used to sing Zemiris on Shabbos, and he would sing the Zemiris without mentioning Hashem's name. And the question is why? So Rav Schechter has a suggestion that it's based on the Ramon Arachayim Simen Kuf Peites. In Arachayim Kuf Peites, the din is of a person skips Al Hanisim on Chanukah and Purim. So at the end of benching, you should say Harachem on Huyasal on Hanisim the place Moshasal Abuseinu, and then etc. But let's say a person skips Yalav Yavo on a day when Yalav Yavo is not Ma'akev, right? The day when there's no fee of Se'uda, Yalav Yavo is not Ma'akev. So do you say Yalav Yavo is part of the Harachemon? So the Ramah has two opinions, and the Ramah sounds like you should not say Yalav Yavo is part of the Harachemon, Kevin Sheish Bahaskaras Hashem. Meaning that you shouldn't mention Hashem's name even as part of a tefillah. You shouldn't say Hashem's name even as part of a tefillah. You shouldn't make up your own tefillahs. So Rav Schechter says that that's the pshat in singing Zemiris without Hashem's name, and that's the pshat in singing the Yehi Ratzon without Hashem's name also. It happens on the Igros Chazanish in Volume 3. The Chazanish is quoted that you can make up your own tefillahs and you could say them with Hashem's name. It's like Rav Nachman of Breslov religion, no? That you go into the forest and you daven and you say Hashem's name, etc. Again, it's obviously an authentic Mesorah. The question is whether you say the Yehi Ratzon with Hashem's name or whether you say the Yehi Ratzon without Hashem's name. One of the things that we do the first night of Rosh Hashanah is that we have a Pri Chadosh on the table. The second night of Rosh Hashanah, we have a Pri Chadosh on the table. What's the idea of having a Pri Chadosh on the table? The idea is that there's some question about whether Rosh Hashanah is halakhically considered one day or 2 days. Halacha says, right, on Rosh Hashanah, etc. It's considered Yom HaRichta. So therefore, there's a question we showing them, do you say a Shechiyanu? So in order to solve that question, we have a Pri Chadosh. In the Sefer Batei Yosef, so Rav Schechter has three tainos, three reasons not to use a Pri Chadosh. One of the reasons is that it's pasnished, right? You're going to make a Shechiyanu on this tiny little fruit, right? This fruit that comes from Zimbabwe that like no one ever saw before, and it looks like a monkey with three paws, whatever it is. Like you make a shechting on that. You know, the yontif is chashuv. The, what's it called? The pre-chadish is often not chashuv. Nosaf al-kach, the netziv is quoted as saying that the shechiyanu on a new fruit is not because you get simcha from seeing the new fruit. Shechiyanu on a new fruit is because it shows that the Ribbono Shel Olam is changing the season of the year. It used to be this season, now it's not that season. Bizman has said that we export fruits all the time, so you can't really make a shechiyanu on a new fruit. right? So it's questionable about making a shachiyanu on the new fruit. Rav Yaakov Neuberger says, in his opinion, making the shachiyanu on the new fruit actually should be defended. The reason why the practice should be defended, Rav Neuberger says, is because the Me'iri writes that those who don't make a shachiyanu do so in order to show that the second day of Rosh Hashanah does not have the status, does not have the same status of the second day as every other yontiv. Every other yontiv, we paskin that second day of yontiv, it is kechol with respect to kavura, that you're allowed to bury mesim on the second day of yontiv. I think we only do that in Satmar and in Breuers. They bury mesim on the second day of yontiv. But the rest of the world, they don't really bury mesim on the second day of yontiv. But in order to demonstrate the second day of yontiv is different than the first day of yontiv, so the Me'iri says that we do not make a shachiyanu. Rabbi Neuberger suggests that in his opinion, maybe this is the reason to dafka have a new fruit. The new fruit is there in order to show that, listen, this shachiyanu, it's like, it's not that I'm making the shachiyanu on the new fruit. I'm making the shachiyanu on the yontiv. But don't think that because you're making a shachiyanu on the yontiv, that therefore it has the same din of a second day yontiv, klape yachole, and klape kavura of a mace. No. It's not the same as the second day of Yontif in general. It has a different din, so the fruit is a symbol of that. So, I thought, though, that maybe there's a different shot. You know, Rashi al HaTorah, in this passage's passion, Pashas Kisavo, so the person brings Bikurim, and he says, Yigatya Yom Hashem Elokecha, etc. So Rashi says, you know what, you were Zaycha to bring Bikurim. This year, Tizke V'tovi L'shana Haba, Tishne L'shana Haba, you should bring the Bikurim again next year. So Rashi is quoting an idea that's found in the Medrash Tanchuma. But if you look in the Medrash Tanchuma inside, Medrash Tanchuma writes, that Ka'odam Shemei V'Pri Chodosh L'Chaveiro, V'Omer Lo, Tizke V'tovi L'shana Haba. Right? Meaning the Bikurim is ke'ilu, like a person brings a Pri Chodesh to his friend, and he says, oh, you should be Zaychel, you should bring it to me next year. So the Medrash Tanchuma says, but Beirish, this Inyan of Pri Chodesh, but it sounds like someone else should give it to you. So it would seem that it makes sense if you're a guest in someone's house on Rosh Hashanah, you should dafki try to bring a Pri Chodesh in order to be Mekayim, this Inyan of the Medrash Tanchuma. There is a tshuva in the Mishnah Halachos, where he says that the ikker of the... Yeah?
So that supports the idea of the Kodesh, but how does that explain the Shechiyanu?
In other words, I'm making the Shechiyanu on the Pri Chodesh. I'm bringing a Pri Chodesh. I have to make a Shechiyanu. It's the second day of Yontif. I make a Shechiyanu anyway. I dafka have the Pri Chodesh, not the Shechiyanu is going on the Pri Chodesh. The Shechiyanu on the Yontif, and the Pri Chodesh is a separate inyan. It's almost like it's one of the simanim. Tizke v'tavi l'shana haba, I should be zeichet to have a next year when I also enjoy, have Pri Chodesh, etc. I think that's the idea. It's not connected to Shechiyanu, correct. Correct. Rav Neuberger is trying to defend making a Shechiyanu on the Pri Chodesh. I'm trying to defend just having a Pri Chodesh, and you make the Shechiyanu stam azoy, because it's the second day yontif, you make a Shechiyanu. Yeah. What? Okay, maybe. I mean, like... The point is that Rav Shechter has this taina, don't have a Pri Chodesh on the table at all, because the Pri Chodesh kind of undermines the Shechina for Yontif. What Rabbi Neuberger is saying is that, no, it enforces. And what I'm suggesting is that the Pri Chodesh is like a different element. It's almost like one of the simanim that we have on, that we eat on Leil Rosh Hashanah, we eat the simanim. That the Pri Chodesh might fit into that context of the simanim as well. There's a discussion in the Achrayim about whether you eat the simanim only the first night or the second night. Also, the Gemara's lashon is la'olam yehi ragel, right? That I should be ragel to have a Pri Chodesh. I should be ragel to have the simanim, right? Kra, charity, etc. So ragel throughout Shas usually means three times. Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach used to have the simanim the first night, first day at lunch, and then the second night of Rosh Hashanah also, in order to be mekayim this inyan of ragel. Others suggest that no, ragel just means that every year you should have the simanim. Most of the simanim are very enjoyable. Most of the simanim are gevaldic. But the Rambam quotes a simon that, if anything, sounds oppressive. Right? That the Rambam writes that you shouldn't sleep on Rosh Hashanah. And they quote this from a Yerushalmi, that Yerushalmi writes, Haiman de domech rei shaita rei amazlei. That if you domech, according to Yerushalmi, sounds like if you sleep, so you have bad nazl. It's going to be bad for the year. Okay? So therefore, the Rambam quotes from this Yerushalmi that you shouldn't sleep on Rosh Hashanah. Mamish, one of the hardest things in Judaism, no? So here's the thing. A few points. There's no such Yerushalmi. Yerushalmi does not exist. Now, this is not uncommon. Very often, Rishonim and Achronim quote something from the Yerushalmi, which we don't have. It could be to Yerushalmi in Kodshim, or we lost Yerushalmi in Kodshim. It could be to Yerushalmi from the end of Nida. We lost that Yerushalmi as well. Avigdor Apelitzer, who was a scholar who put out the Ravya, this is the old edition of the Ravya, argued that there was something that the Rishonim had called Sefer HaYerushalmi. The Rishonim had this thing that was a likut of various midrashim, midrashay halacha from Eretz Yisrael. They called it Sefer Yerushalmi. And that was his hashara. That's his suggestion. That's how he answers all these Yerushalmis that we don't have. Right? Yerushalmi says if you talk between Yishtabach and Yotzer, Yechulzem Erchei Amuchama. Right? No such Yerushalmi. We don't have Yerushalmi. The idea might be that's found in Yerushalmi that's missing, or afterwards it suggests that it's from the Sefer Yerushalmi. In the newest edition of the Ravya, the black editions that we have here in the Beis Medrash, they used to have like the red Ravya, the four volumes, sounds like a seven volume. So Rav Dablitsky's son, Rav Sraya Dablitsky's son, I think his name is Rav David Dablitsky, so he has a whole arichos to show that afterwards his suggestion about the Sefer Yerushalmi is absolutely incorrect. Professor Chaim Soloveitchik, the Rav's son, quotes from a scholar, Yaakov Zussman. Zussman is Mamash Gainaiman. So Zussman says that he found evidence for this Sefer Yerushalmi. The thing is, people talk about the Cairo Geniza. There's also some, the Cairo Geniza they found up in an attic in Fustat. There's also a thing called Fustat is Cairo, the Jewish quarter of Cairo. There's also what they call the European Geniza. European Geniza is if you go through libraries in Europe, you're going to see that they bound books using pages of old Svarim. So you could find old Svarim by going through the bindings of the old books. That's called the European Geniza. So they found in the European Geniza, it mamish matches the Sefer Yerushalmi. So it could be that this idea, again, it begins as a drasha of Yeshua ibn Shuiv, who's like, he's quoting from a Yerushalmi, and from there it makes it to the Ramon, the Darkei Moshe, and the Shulchan Aruch. The idea might be that it's coming from this Sefer Yerushalmi. But be it as it may, whatever the Yesod is, the practice of not sleeping on Rosh Hashanah makes it to Shulchan Aruch, it makes it to the Ramah. The Bach has three suggestions as to why you don't sleep on Rosh Hashanah. One suggestion that the Bach has is that the idea of the shofar is to wake us up. Perek Gimel, Hilchos Teshuvah, Halacha Dalet, Uri Yishayim Mishnasken, Nidon Hikitzum Tadei Maskem, etc. So if shofar is there to wake you up, so then as pasnish, to sleep when you should be waking up. Alternatively, it's during the Zman of Din. Right? And if you're in court and they're judging you and you're dozing off, looks bad, no? Alternatively, right, sleeping is a sign of laziness. And we want to have a year when we're energetic and we're excited, not a year when we're lazy. So that's why the three reasons in the Bach not to sleep. These three reasons might be totally in what is the scope of the minig of not sleeping on Rosh Hashanah. Do I assume that you're not supposed to sleep all day of Rosh Hashanah? And that means day, not night. Because Yom Teruah Yelachem, that's the idea of the shofar. Do I assume that it's based on din? If it's based on din, so we assume that the din in Rosh Hashanah goes only until Chatzos. After Chatzos, the din doesn't apply anymore, no? So that's why the Mishnah Berurah comes from that Rizah. You used to sleep after Chatzos. The third Mahalach, that's based on laziness. Laziness means if I go to sleep. But if I'm sleeping and I don't wake up, so that is not necessarily a sign of laziness. There used to be a minig that many people would wake up, Alos HaShachar and Rosh Hashanah. And that's because you're not supposed to sleep on Rosh Hashanah. The Pashtus is they wake up on Alos HaShachar to get extra Zechuyas, Adam Vosik, and whatever it is. In terms of sleeping, there's no Isser to continue to sleep on Rosh Hashanah. There's an Isser to go to sleep on Rosh Hashanah. Or there's a Minhag, right? It's that you don't want to use the word Isser. There's a Minhag, whatever it is. But the three practices mentioned in the Bach seem to indicate the scope of this minhag. It's worth noting that the Poskim quotes that the Maharam of Rutenberg used to sleep on Rosh Hashanah. So what's the Pshat Maharam of Rutenberg sleeping on Rosh Hashanah? It's also quoted in the Kolbo that the minhag of the Ramah not to eat egos on Rosh Hashanah, not to eat nuts. The Maharam of Rutenberg ate nuts. So what's the Pshat? So Nirlokhini is like the Pshat is like this. The Me'iri is bothered by Akasha. What's the heter for Simonim on Rosh Hashanah? The Torah has an Isser of Lo Tanachashu Lo Ta'onenu, that we can't augur, we can't use signs. So what's the heter to have Simonim on Rosh Hashanah? So some suggest, they quote from the Ravya, that maybe the idea is that you shouldn't have a negative sign, I won't do this, but a positive sign, it should be good, maybe that's okay. But the Me'iri on Daf Yud Beis in Horius, the Me'iri suggests that it's only Losef Nachashu Losef Onenu if you're doing it Stam as Nichosh. But if I dive into Rabbeinu Shloim beforehand, so then it's not Nichosh. So therefore, the Me'iri says that the Iker is the Yehi Ratzon. Right? Against the Tshuva Mishnah Halacha, so the Iker is to eat the food. No, the Iker is that you say the Yiratzen. The Tefillah is the Iker. The Shechter quotes that idea of the Tefillah is like the Ramban has a lot of Torah in some places, that a Tefillah that is connected to an item is more likely to be Chal. So the Me'iri says that the Yiratzen is the Iker. If not for the Yiratzen, it's usher to have Simanim on Rosh Hashanah, because it's Lo Tanachashu. So Mimela, that only makes sense on what I call a positive simon, right? Yikarsu so ne'enu, they should be, right? Nir bezuku yosenu kirimo, it should happen. But a negative simon, that if you sleep, bad things will happen, it's not shy to say Yihiratzon in that case. If it's not shy to say Yihiratzon, then it could be it's a violation of the din of losenachashu losenu. A few years ago in Rosh Hashanah, I was walking by Rav Shechter, so I asked him, right, we say, one of the Hirasan Shanir Bezkhu Yasin the Karimon, we should have as many Zechuyos as a pomegranate. But the Gemara says, I feel Harekim Shabbat. Even the Yidden who are empty of Torah and Mitzvahs, like the lowest level of Yidden, the people that the Alter Rebbe and Tanya speaks about, like the Brius, like the lowest figures, even then have are Malayim Zechuyos Karimon. So what exactly are we saying that Yiratzon that we should be, what? We should be Malayim Zechuyos Karimon? Everyone gets it. So Shechter smiled. I have no idea what that means, but he smiled when they asked him this kasha. In the Mata Ephraim, Nikzei HaMata, he's bothered by this kasha a little bit. He gives some answers that the idea is Shanir Vespiyos in the Karimon. That, yes, the Reikim also have Zechuyos, but we should be nearby. We have Zechuyos on top of Zechuyos on top of Zechuyos. That's his suggestion. Again, these are some of the Ha'aros I think that are Kedai to mention. Oh, one, two more ha'aros. One more, maybe. We should eat, on Rosh Hashanah, we eat tapoach matok v'dvash, no? Tapoach matok v'dvash. So Yaakov Kamenetsky used to say that people get it wrong. You should have a sweet apple. Tapoach matok, a sweet apple, and then you put that sweet apple in dvash. Vosep is why dvash. So it happens that the Rush in Brachas and elsewhere speaks about the koach of dvash is that it changes stuff. If you have trait food and it falls into dvash and it's there for a very long time, it could be that it's nepa, that it mamish changes. The Russian Rabbi Nuyona have a discussion about Isser Shenishtana, and that's based on stuff that falls into dvash. What that means is that the dvash has the capability of being mahapeh. What we're davening for is that we want dvash. We want to be mahapeh, the Averis that we did to become Zechuyis. We wanted to become like a Tshuva Mei Ahava, so that's why Devash is what's used, because Devash has the Koach to change things from bad to good. Again, so these are some of the Ha'aris and Simon Tavkuf Pei Gimel about, what's it called? About Simanim on Rosh Hashanah. Questions, comments, observations, jokes. Yeah, you can make up your own simanim, sure. The question that Reb Chaim Noah has in the Sefer Ketzeis HaShulchan is, let's say it's one of the simanim that's mentioned in the Shulchan Aruch, based on karati, rubya, whatever it is, but in your language, it's a bad meaning. I don't know the example of that. So do you use that as a simon? If something has a good meaning in your language, of course. The simanim are not like a fixed thing. You could add it. Again, it's a way of being misbalot to the Rabbon Shem. Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, by the way, used to not say Hashem's name, with the exception for the first Yehi Ratzin, because he said it's so hard to have kavanah and shame Hashem. Right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is HaYahoveh V'Yiyah. Right? Midas HaRachamim. It's not very hard to have kavanah, but Shlomo Zalman would only say the first one, shame Hashem, and afterwards he wouldn't. Again, there is a lot to say. Yes. Right, so the question is, do you make the Bayrei Kriya Ha'etz? So you make a Bayrei Kriya Ha'etz on the Siman. Do I do it before the Hamotzi or after the Hamotzi? So it goes two ways. Tosfos has a discussion about not making the Bayrei Kriya Ha'etz on Maror, because maybe Maror is a chelek of the Seuda. One can make an argument that on Rosh Hashanah, the Pri Chadash and the Simanim, whatever, are chelak of the Seuda. So therefore, maybe you should eat it beforehand. On the other hand, if you eat it beforehand and you eat too much of it, you get an Ashayla Bracha Achrona. She was saying brachas this year. So do you eat it before the Hamotzi? Do you eat it after the Hamotzi? The Pashto says that's not really a chelak of the Seuda. So I myself try to have the simanim after Hamotzi. Many people have the simanim before Hamotzi. Then you have to be very careful not to eat a shiur, because then you get involved in the question of the bracha achrona. Again, if you have enough ha'etzes or enough hadomas, you can end up making requiring a what's it called? Requiring a bracha achrona. Berein nefashis, etc. Could be if you eat pomegranate. Pomegranate's great, but it stains your shirt terribly. So pomegranate, you eat enough, so you have to make a aretz ha'peiros. It's from the Shiva Saminim. Yeah. Okay. Shgaya, thank you for listening.